Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
First and Pod, hosted by Danny Parkin and Andrew Filippone.
All right, another edition of First and Pod, Danny Parkins, Andrew Filippone. Thank you for subscribing, rating, reviewing. It helps us out a great deal. Every week, every game, every team, after an overtime win for the Chiefs over the Titans. You know, it was one of those weeks, Pony, where I always try to judge the slate ahead of time. What a great 1 p.m. Eastern window with a ton of teams on a bye. Like, it did not look on paper like it was going to be a great week. This was a great day of football.
Well, the two big juggernauts in the AFC were tested, and one escaped with a win in overtime, the other lost. And so that's really, I think, the theme of this Sunday. Chiefs survive, Bills don't. And for the Chiefs, they were lucky that they got Malik Willis. Because I don't think Ryan Tannehill is a top 10 quarterback. But if Tannehill plays in that game, I'm fairly convinced that the Titans win. Now, maybe Kansas City, you know, isn't as sloppy, or they don't take their foot off the gas as much at times in that game and get their act together defensively in the second half against Derrick Henry. But they won that game, not only because of the magic of Mahomes and the runs he made and the two-point play and all that, but they won that game because the Titans are playing a quarterback right now who, given their lack of receiver talent, can't do anything but run the ball. So
there was so much about that game. It felt like if Derrick Henry was completely right, he would have had 27 or 37 carries and not 17. It just felt,
and I think, eight in the second half and overtime combined. Eight in the second half.
Yeah, something was not completely right there, because some of the play calls and the decision making to drop Malik Willis back, you know, was just baffling, both in terms of clock management and risk management. For the game at the end of regulation, especially, it made no sense. Like, they brought back a win in regulation opportunity for the Chiefs in that spot. And I mean, Kansas City dominated yards, time of possession, first downs. Mahomes did something that had never been done before in NFL history, 400-plus passing yards, 60-plus rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown, threw the ball a career-high 68 times, but wasn't that effective? Like, that was a very, very weird game that, I mean, the Titans play them tough, but I feel like if you're the Chiefs, it's just survive, advance, escape with a win, and it almost feels like it counts for two because of what happened with Buffalo.
Yeah, and the two best teams in the AFC can't run the ball, or don't want to. The Chiefs and Bills.
The Chiefs can't score from the 1 yard line without doing something weird.
Like having a backup tight end come under center and quarterback sneak it?
Yeah, just they didn't do anything to address that, and but you don't know if it's going to be their Achilles heel. It hasn't been to this point, but it's hard to watch.
Well, Singletary got hot for Buffalo last year late. Yeah. It was great. And Kansas City, when they won the Super Bowl, Damian Williams came out of nowhere and probably should have won the MVP of that Super Bowl. So it can happen. But both of those teams are extremely one-dimensional right now. And that's great. You've got Josh Allen and weapons and Patrick Mahomes and weapons. But man, you go seven straight possessions without points if you're the Chiefs. The Bills were getting Josh Allen hit today, and he wasn't on his game. Like, for the overall health of the NFL, great day. I mean, just an awesome day, because it doesn't seem like a 2 or 3 team race anymore to me. I mean, I would still say Bills 1, Chiefs 2, Eagles 3, but the gap doesn't seem as big as it did before the games were played today.
Yeah, and
you can call me prisoner of the moment, but that's just how I feel right now taping this.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's kind of the nature of the beast, doing it twice a week and every game and all of that. You're going to be a little prisoner of the moment. It definitely feels wide open. This is clearly not the best version of the Chiefs that we've seen in the last 5 years. Buffalo, it feels like it should be the best version of them that we've seen in the last 5 years. But Josh Allen makes mistakes in big spots. They don't operate smoothly, especially down in, you know, the red zone and inside the 10-yard line. So there's an Achilles heel there. And Philly, Jalen Hurts is not proven in a huge spot. So it does feel wide open in both conferences. And on the AFC side, it feels like they could play 10 times and each side would win 5 and yep, maybe give the slight edge to the home team. But it's just going to be who has the ball last. Like, that's how it feels right now, which is great, because we're officially past the halfway point of the season and it feels wide open, which is exactly how the NFL is designed to make it feel. But I mean, I can tell you this, Chiefs fans are going to be feeling very good about the fact that they escaped with that win and Buffalo didn't.
Yep.
They're not going to be afraid of anybody.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, they believe they're the Super Bowl favorites Monday morning.
Yeah. And I think the Jets Bills game, which will, you know, piggyback off of the Sunday nighter.
Yeah.
If you're a Buffalo fan, you're going to go to bed and say, what, we're not allowed to have a bad game. You know, we're not allowed to have a game where we don't play well. Because even the Dolphins game that they lost, they had all those yards of offense. They dominated time of possession and they just lost in kind of a fluky way. Today they got beat. It wasn't a blowout. It wasn't embarrassing, but the Jets defense was the best unit on the field in that game. If you're the Bills, I think the Jets now are the type of team that has a little bit of a Jags in 2017 vibe to them, where it's like, do they have enough playmakers on defense where, despite the fact that their quarterback is a liability, on any given Sunday they can hold you under 20 points, pressure your quarterback into mistakes, and win an ugly game? And their quarterback, Zach Wilson, didn't make he rebounded beautifully from the Patriots game. He did not make the horrendous turnover, and they needed to go the length of the field to score at the end of the game, and they did. So
yeah, Wilson had the fumble but didn't have the pick. You know, he didn't throw the back-breaking interception and made a couple of nice throws on the last drive of the game.
Yes.
So he has to feel great. Jets fans have to feel great. Their defense is incredible and young. So I almost want to go more big picture with the Jets, of just feeling like, if Zach Wilson is legit and they have one more decent offseason, I mean, going into next year, and I know that's premature, but we could even do it in the context of this year. Like, before this year, we were saying AFC West, one of the best divisions preseason that we've seen. Now, AFC East, Bills, Dolphins, Jets, and the fourth team is Belichick? That's unbelievable. Like, if we were power ranking divisions before this season started, how many divisions do we even get to before we mention AFC East? I mean, we would have said it was top half, probably, but not definitively. It's such a testament for, like, predicting the schedule and who's going to be good and who's going to be bad before the year. The yep. AFC East has come out of nowhere to be unbelievably compelling and competitive.
Yeah, and I think the Wilson thing, it's a great situation for a young quarterback. in that, yeah, he's in the New York market, but their defense is going to help him. And they ran the ball better today. They do have playmakers on defense, on offense, excuse me. They seem to have managed.
Garrett Wilson's good, by the way.
Yeah, they've managed to, I think, remedy their offensive line kind of on the fly this year, where it was atrocious at the start of the season. They've had injuries, and they've somehow pulled it all together. So they're a team that, you know, if I'm on a wild card weekend, they could lose by 35 points, or they could knock somebody off and maybe even win two or three playoff games. So that's for Jets fans that haven't made the playoffs since 2010. That's awesome. I still don't know if they found their quarterback, but this is a step in the right direction.
One quick gambling thing here.
Yep.
I haven't seen the odds update yet after the game, but doesn't it feel like offensive rookie of the year is wide open?
No, I think it's over.
You think it's over? Damian Pierce? Yeah.
No, Walker. Went off again today.
Garrett Wilson, man, coming on.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Well, Kenneth Walker, every time he starts, goes over 100 yards, and the Seahawks are everybody's favorite team right now, including yours.
Yeah. I'd be very interested in that. Like, running backs, man, can fall off quick. So I'm with you, but Breece Hall got hurt. A lot of running backs, the rookies have been producing. Garrett Wilson, dark horse guy. I agree. Walker should be the favorite. Pierce is right there, but it's a wide open market. And it's interesting that it's no quarterback.
Packers Lions.
Yes, sir.
Is Aaron Rodgers washed?
It's the first time I'm willing to entertain it, and I think that their season is over, and I definitely think they should trade him in the offseason. And that's just an unbelievable place to be for a back-to-back league MVP who signed the contract, had all of the drama, and said he was going to retire as a Packer. It's just sad. Like, watching Brady at the end is one thing, but he's 45. To go from back-to-back league MVP to halfway through the season asking if the guy is washed, it doesn't make any sense. Like, physically, there's no reason for that to be the case, and we can explain it away with Devontae Adams and injuries and guys not performing and all of that. Now, he wears plenty of it. He was awful again today. I'm not saying that he gets none of this blame, but, like, if he's going to keep playing, I want to see Aaron Rodgers in a competitive situation just for, like, the sake of the NFL and the sake of the old guard. I don't think he's washed, but it's a fair question.
I think he is. And I don't think any...
How do you explain that? How does he...
Because he's old and because Tom Brady has ruined the quarterback paradigm because he was good. I think he has. I think that it always used to be that guys fell off in their late 30s. Many times it happened in the blink of an eye. I'll give you a perfect example with where I am. Ben Roethlisberger, not last year, but 2 years ago, was great for 10 games. Could have, well, they were undefeated, looked like he could win the MVP, had over 30 touchdown passes, and then in the span of a month, looked like he couldn't play football anymore. And then the next year, he basically just had to throw the ball 2 yards every play and just battle his ass off through a season. It happens. But, you know, we just think, okay, Brady did it. Drew Brees kind of did it. Favre sort of kind of did it. So Aaron Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs. He'll do it too. I don't know. I mean, the commitment level isn't there with him.
Well, that's the thing. Because the other guys, it did, like that you're talking about, it felt like they dropped off physically. And when I see him throw the ball 60 yards in the air, it doesn't feel like he's physically dropped off.
And I know you don't like talking about what he says, but he snapped after the game about, like, you have second thoughts about retirement. That's a doth protest too much comment from him for me. Just like way over the top about it. It's a totally fair question. And when you answer it that way, it actually has the reverse effect. It makes me think that you're taking it personally because it's actually true.
I mean, it was a great question. Even if it's a little bit of a gotcha question in the moment after a game, it was a great question.
And I think the Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, even though they're inferior quarterbacks, I think that and the personality and the baggage, I don't think anybody's going to want to trade for him and give up much.
Well, give up much is one thing, but just like, are the Packers going to bottom out at the end of this and just look at it as an opportunity to move on and be like, okay, we're bad. Never mind. We made a mistake here. It's time to.
Who wants him?
Dude, some team that would take a flyer on Aaron Rodgers next year. I can't give you a team. I mean, I guess I could think about it, but I mean, would Atlanta want him?
I wouldn't. I'd rather go young quarterback.
But if they're not going to get one of the top three quarterbacks in the draft because they've won too many games,
I think I'd rather try Ritter for a year and hope he's the next Jalen Hurts, similar style quarterback, and then go into the draft if that doesn't work.
They should do that now for sure. But I think Rodgers, I don't think we've seen the last of Rodgers playing relevant football, but they're certainly no longer relevant this year. And I'll tell you what, here we go, baby. He has arrived higher up in the rundown, maybe than it should be. Call it biased. It does not matter. Are you on board? Even though he cannot, never has had a 300 yard game, could not even sniff 200 passing yards. Are you on board with the arrival of Justin Fields' single game NFL record for
rushing yards
by a quarterback today?
Yeah, I knew you were going to have like an orgasmic reaction to that. So I was bracing myself for it all day that was going to be.
Dude.
I don't even think.
Unbelievable.
It is for you. It 100% is your lead topic for 5 days. All week.
Yes.
But I don't think it's for our purpose. I don't think it's the biggest thing from that game at all.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm serious.
He had 4 touchdowns.
I know he did. The biggest winner.
The rest of that class is terrible.
No. I'm not.
He looked good against Dallas. He looked good against the Patriots. This is the arrival of a young quarterback.
Well, I think kind of. I think it's a huge jump from what we thought about him a month ago. But the biggest winner today by far in the NFL is Miami. By far. Because Kansas City looked bad. Buffalo lost. And they scored, I know, block punts in there. But they scored 38 points with Tua again. Again. Waddle, yeah, big day.
35-32. There was the block punt.
Yeah. But still.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't lost.
the Bears defense is atrocious.
Well, they traded Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn. I understand that. But, I mean, I don't think people were going into this game thinking that Tua was going to The offense,
I told you last week, my bet of the year was the over.
Yeah, you did. I didn't listen to it today either.
You weren't on it?
No, I had the Panthers today.
Pony, it went off at 46 and a half.
I know. I did not have a good NFL day today.
I had it at 43 and a half on the pod last week.
I know.
Dude, that was, God, I gave it out and everything.
I know. That was a tragic, tragic, tragic decision by me today.
That was the easiest bet of the year. The forecast turned in our favor. It went exactly how I thought.
All right, I'm going to ask you the ultimate question on Fields, and don't give me some bullshit pro Chicago answer.
Yeah.
Fields or Lawrence?
Fields.
You're high.
Maybe. You can't prove that.
Do you want to say one more thing about him? I'll give you one more chance to gush.
Equanimeous St. Brown, Dante Pettis, fifth round tackles, no first round picks on offense with him.
Chase Claypool, 2 catches, 13 yards.
That's right. Darnell Mooney, fifth round undersized dude out of Tulane. Okay? And he's doing this.
Yeah.
Back to back to back. And yeah, the Washington game was bad 4 games ago, but look at that second half against the Vikings 5 games ago. This is he's turning a corner, man, with nothing around him. And look, it's not a finished product because the passing is not there. He's doing it in a way that is not sustainable long term, but the Bears have never had a quarterback this exciting in my lifetime, period. That is a thing. Right.
Not
there.
A very high bar to clear. We're talking about Kyle Orton's and Rex
Jay
Grossman's.
Cutler and Eric Kramer. I understand that, but still it's the most exciting.
I would quibble with the Cutler thing a little bit from 2010, but that's okay. I'll let you have your moment.
But he had Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall and Matt Forte and Martellus Bennett.
Yep.
And they traded for him when he'd already been on a Pro Bowl with Denver at 24 years old. Like, you know what I mean? Like that was a different thing. This is your guy, you drafted him, you're developing him, you're with him every step of the way. And oh yeah, by the way, he's likable. Cutler was never likable.
Well, in his own quirky way, I kind of thought he was.